Hello, and welcome to a brand new episode of Databook, a Chief Healthcare Executive podcast. My name is Skylar Jeremias, and I'm an assistant editor at CHE. Today, I will be joined by Alan Payne, Chief Information Officer at Sensign Health. We discuss some of the major ethical concerns experts have regarding the use of artificial intelligence, or AI, in healthcare. We also talked about how these issues can impact quality of care and what healthcare organizations can do to help avoid them. What are some of the ethical concerns regarding AI development and utilization, and why do these issues exist?
First is the use of a patient's data. And the patient's data is about an individual, and that has privacy issues and compliance issues associated with it. And we at Sensign take that incredibly seriously. In fact, we only work with de-identified data, and that's one of our first rules of engagement. Secondly, the patient expects a duty of care for how their data is used. So we don't, and we never will, want to sell someone's data just for the sake of it. There have been multiple instances where unethical use of data has caused significant brand outrage. Cambridge Analytica is a good example. And in fact, many of these unethical uses of data have resulted in quite significant legislative action in creation of things like GDPR in the UK and more stringent data regulations in the US. So understanding that AI is now making decisions on behalf of an individual, whether it's how you do a search or now increasingly in healthcare, decisions that are made about you based on an AI, mean that you have to be very, very careful. So we at Sensign create circuit breakers in our algorithms to understand that if we do start to see changes in how an algorithm is working, we will actually ask for a human intervention, good old humans. We will also ensure that the data is incredibly safely, securely maintained and monitored. And in fact, we work closely with the clinical groups themselves to ensure that they know where the data, exactly what the data is for and why it's being used. And there's a final point I'd bring out, which is as AI becomes more and more sophisticated, as it becomes more and more embedded within healthcare, and it is already here, it's just going to get higher and higher. And let me pose a question here. Does an AI, when it reaches a certain level of sophistication, need a legal entity status of its own? So I, as an individual, have a legal entity status, and I have to pay taxes, and I have a duty of care to my fellows and, you know, to obey laws. Otherwise, there's chaos and anarchy. A company has the same impact. If you're a limited company, incorporated, you owe a duty of care for how your company behaves. And I think there's a very interesting topic of conversation around should AI, when it reaches this level, have a duty of care by the people that created it, whether it's circuit breaking, whether it's penalties and legislative action, should it breach its duty of care. So AI ethics is a fascinating topic, and you can hear my passion in that. But again, we at Sensign have take that seriously. We build all of those items into our development.
What are the implications for companies that do not address ethical concerns regarding AI?
So companies that don't address these ethical concerns have significant risk of brand outrage, certainly economic issues associated with it. Cambridge Analytica is a very good example. And I think as consumers of healthcare get far more understanding about the use of their data and actually how valuable it is in many cases, as well as the ethical constraints for that, that there is a very strong social constraint around the use of their data. So I think the last one, the social, given how easy it is to create commentary about bad behavior and unethical behavior, is critical. And that's why, again, we try and build that level of trust with an individual, building a social contract that says, you know, I'd like to use your data, but it's going to benefit you and other people in the following way. And this is exactly what we're going to use it for. Not something nefarious, not something downstream just to make money, but to have a purpose behind why you use the data.
How might these issues impact patients, especially when it comes to quality of care?
So quality of care is the principal reason why we're doing this. And it's not just true of healthcare, but also particularly of life sciences. And actually a combination of the two is where we're operating and where we see these issues really impacting. So first off, only using data in an ethical way, and we've covered that in the previous question, but that's a foundation. It must be done in partnership with the pharmaceutical companies, not with any raw data or even patient level data, even if it's de-identified, but as an insight level. So there's a demilitarized zone, there's a gap that can't be breached to ensure patient safety and continuity of security. But working closely with the researchers and with the clinicians, where we can provide the engineering supports to manage that. But in terms of driving that quality of care, that is the principal reason. If we do that in partnership, rather than just, we just will take your data and we'll work out what to do with it. Again, not acceptable. So the issues of privacy, security, and ethical concerns relate to the human intervention of stopping that occurring right from the very start.
How can developers begin to tackle any bias and data security issues within their AI platforms?
This is a great question, by the way. How do we tackle bias and data security? So almost all AI platforms now will be cloud-based because there's infinite resource effectively to solve those issues. And bias is a difficult one because it's based on the underlying data that actually creates the learning from the patterns within that data. So I'll cover the bias first and then security. So bias we cover in a number of different areas. First off, bias will always exist. I'll just be upfront with that. Bias will always exist. If people say bias can be avoided, no, it can't. You will always have bias, but you can mitigate. And by the way, bias is there in humans and always will be, whether it's conscious or unconscious. There's plenty of documentation on that. How we deal with bias is that we don't just use one data source. As big as it could be millions of records, hundreds of millions, it doesn't matter. We always choose one data set for initial training, testing and verification, and then we duplicate that with two different varieties. So we've now got three data points that we can triangulate to create a series of rules that say, okay, when you look at new data outside of those three sources, what's changed? And we can determine whether or not the algorithm is working correctly with the new source of data by the conditions that have been set by the previous three. We also have, it's a watchman algorithm. So who watches the watchman? So we have an algorithm that watches the algorithm. And that's another way that we mitigate bias. It's a bias algorithm that says, actually, this is shifting in a direction that we hadn't anticipated. It's therefore breaching the conditions by which we set. And this is what we call a circuit breaker. And the circuit breaker, just like if too much electricity comes through or too little, it'll actually break. And again, a human is called for maintenance to see what needs to be done to it. So you can't avoid it, but you can build in mechanisms to adapt to environmental conditions, to changing social conditions. We at Sensign have covered that, particularly within our new Sensight platform that we're particularly proud of, which allows us to build these algorithms to watch how the algorithms are performing and either do self-training corrections, or if it breaches those guidelines significantly or to the extent that we've agreed with the clinicians, it actually kicks back to a human to say, please come fix me. Data security on the other side, that is a huge issue. We conform to HIPAA and HITRUST requirements in the US, as well as working very closely with the Caldecott Guardians. We repeatedly penetration test, and we also work with Microsoft's Azure platform with some of the most stringent data security that's available to us. Even all of those conditions aren't enough for us, and we feel that we have a higher duty of care. And the fact that we only work with de-identified data means that even if the data can be looked at, it cannot ever be taken back to an individual. So we have quite a lot of different layers of security to enable us to feel comfortable and confident that our customers' data is well looked after.
What questions should healthcare organizations be asking before deciding to incorporate an AI platform into their health systems?
So the first question they need to ask is, where are the clinicians that will give me the questions I need to ask? Because deciding that I can just take lots of data and see what answers I can come up with is, for us, the wrong way around to do this. So the question a healthcare organization should ask is, clinicians and researchers, what are the things that we could do with you in partnership to improve patient safety, patient outcome, reduce patient journey, improve how a patient feels during a process? It could be any one of those different things, but it centers around the patient. If you start with an economic argument, we don't feel it's going to work very well. And if you start with an environment and a question that's purpose-driven, and that's exactly how we feel at Sensign, that is the first question that should be asked. We can then go into more technical questions around how can I get the data out in a way that can be used by AI? Quite frankly, 80% of everything we do is about wrangling data, getting it into a position where it can be put into a format where it can be used. And the faster we can do that, the more efficient our researchers are and the faster we can answer the questions. And then finally, how do I ask the question, the clinical question, in a way that is meaningful to the patient, the clinician, but also to the regulator, to ensure that we are not breaching regulatory guidelines, and you know, the products we build are regulated from the FDA or the MHRA in the UK or CE marking. So you need to get the right stakeholders in the room and not just say, I can answer a question for you because I'm a great engineer. So it's the partnership for us that's the key in patient outcome.
Should regulatory bodies be making addressing ethical problems with AI a bigger priority? And if so, what should they be doing?
Yeah, again, great question. So the issue with regulatory bodies addressing these problems is actually against the backdrop of other industries. And there have been multiple times in history where regulators and governments have had to step in because self-regulation has not worked. And if you look at market economies, they're self-regulating in theory. The way you get sufficient monopoly in one particular case or technology improvement in another, then the regulators tend to lag behind that thinking. So AI is not at the point where it is already making decisions on your behalf. You may or may not know that. And even if the decisions are made, like, for example, applying for health insurance. So if you're refused, what was the reason why you refused? Well, it was the computer that said it. It's almost entirely, it's almost certain it's AI based now in some way, shape or form. So the first thing is that the AI should be able to tell you why that decision was made. It can't be black box. It can't be the computer said so. You need to be able to express that in English to a consumer. And that's really important. And again, something we build into every algorithm we develop. In terms of the regulatory problem, though, large companies have shown they cannot self-regulate. And that's why we've ended up with Cambridge Analytica and lots of rhetoric around, yes, we'll do better. Yes, we'll support this more. But there's no legal framework to say, yes, you should do better. Except, you know, outside of areas like GDPR or in Europe, but even in the UK, in the US, there's not massive fines for some of the things that can occur through AI mismanagement. So AIs are already reaching this level of responsibility, this level of decision making on behalf of humans. And how do you ensure that the person that wrote that algorithm is ethical? Because it's not the AI that's unethical, it's the person that wrote it. And it's the purpose that they designed it for. If you go back to May 2010, the flash crash on the New York Stock Exchange, three algorithmic traders wrote rogue algorithms that took $3 trillion off the value of the market for 33 minutes. And are there now rules and regulations that say you've got to build circuit breakers in, you've got to have your algorithm legally regulated in some way, shape or form. So there's no framework yet, either from the regulator or from government, for how AI performs, because it's one of these new technologies that's now becoming so mainstream. And it's now, quite frankly, if you don't have AI, it's a competitive disadvantage. So most companies are getting on this sort of AI bandwagon. So it's the use of the data, how you use it, all these things to be incorporated. Our view is, and here's the analogy for you, we think of it as the fair trade of data. So you go to the shop and you get your fair trade bananas and coffee, which have come from ethically sourced areas. Same should be true of data. There should be a badge of simplicity that says, and quality that says, the data I've got has been fairly paid for, it's been fairly treated, and it's been managed in a way that's fit for purpose, not fit for someone's bottom line.
What do you think the future of AI in healthcare looks like if bias and security issues are addressed and eliminated?
So the future of AI in healthcare is, I think, pretty bullish, pretty positive, assuming these issues will be solved. And I think they will be. The value of AI is too high for it not to be solved. I think for me, the opportunity to scale at pace. So imagine taking hundreds and thousands of doctors and clinicians and specialists and taking a little bit of them and being able to scale that to other health systems that can't afford doctors of that size and scale. So we can scale scarce resources. And at the other end of the spectrum, because we can understand the patient need more, we can reduce demand. So the net effect is you can reduce demand on the healthcare systems by improving supply of resources by digitally delivering healthcare rather than physically delivering it. And the one thing that COVID's taught us, if anything, apart from don't go out and don't stay out too late, is that the genie is out the bottle for remote patient care. And if you're going to scale that effectively and make it economic, particularly to emerging healthcare systems, then delivering that at scale through AI is a very, very straightforward way to do that. Again, subject to the bias and security that we've discussed.
Thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of Databook. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at Chief Health Exec and on LinkedIn and Facebook. Until next time, I'm your host, Skylar Jeremias.